Well, three clergymen were in a deep discussion about the best posture for praying while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is definitely the best, claimed one minister. No, the other contended, I get the best results standing with my arms outstretched to heaven. You're both wrong, the third argued. The most effective prayer posture is lying on the floor facing down. The telephone repairman could contain himself no longer. Hey guys, he interrupted, the best praying I ever did was when I was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. So today's gospel is all about prayer, really how to pray well or how to pray poorly. And so we have this parable. A parable is a story that Jesus uses to give a message, and he gives a contrast between two people who go to the temple to pray. Of course, one was a Pharisee, the religious leader. The other was a despised, hated tax collector, a traitor to his own people. So just from the beginning, you would think, well, certainly the Pharisee would be the one to emulate because he must be praying. Obviously, he would know how to pray. He's one of the religious leaders. And obviously, the tax collector would certainly be not the one to emulate or to follow his example. So Jesus says he taught this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness. In other words, those who were self-righteous and who despised everyone else. So the two people that go up to the temple to pray, one was, of course, a Pharisee. There were 6,000 Pharisees in the Holy Land at the time. They were the teachers of Israel, the religious leaders. And then, of course, the tax collector. Now, the Pharisee begins his prayer, and he starts out well. He says, "Oh God, I thank you." But after that, it's all downhill after that. Because he says, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity." So he begins to compare himself with other people. And he says, "Thank you, God, for not making me greedy, dishonest, and adulterous like the rest of humanity." See, that's how he sees the rest of humanity, that everyone's greedy, dishonest, and adulterous. "Or God, thank you that you did not make me like this tax collector, you know, way in the back of the temple." So again, he compares himself to other people, where of course we know we're only supposed to compare ourselves to our Lord Jesus and not to others. Christ is the model that we must look upon, not comparing ourselves to others. Because obviously if we compare ourselves to our neighbors who don't go to church or other people who don't believe in God, we begin to perhaps be self-righteous. So we of course need to compare ourselves with Christ. So he says, now he begins to tell God how good he is and all the things he does for God. He begins to boast and say, "God, I'm so much better than humanity because I fast twice a week." The religious leaders only had to fast one day a week, but he was doing twice as much. He even says that he pays tithes on his whole income, not just a certain amount of his income. So notice his prayer is filled with pride. It's arrogant because he's spending his whole time telling God how good he is. And he's actually looking down on others, being very judgmental towards the rest of humanity, especially towards that tax collector sitting in the back of the temple. So really he is boasting, not praying. So that, of course, is not the best way to pray. But now Jesus gives us the prayer of the tax collector. It says the tax collector stood off at a distance. He stayed in the back of the temple. He is a patron saint for those who like to sit in the back of church. Okay? I remember seeing a sign once that said, "Come early to Mass and get a good seat in the back." I remember seeing that. Now, so this tax collector, he's very humble. He's very sorry for his sins because he feels he's not even worthy to enter into the Holy of Holies or the sanctuary of the temple. He doesn't even raise his eyes to heaven. He realizes he's not worthy even to raise his eyes. And it says he beats his breast, which means when he strikes his chest, that's an act of sorrow. We just did that when we say the I confess, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. That is a beautiful prayer, and this posture, since way back in the book of Job, has been one of sorrow for one's sins, to strike one's breast in sorrow. So the church incorporates that into the Confiteor that we pray at the Mass. And so he beats his breast and says, a very short prayer, but sometimes the shortest prayers are the best. Sometimes the shortest prayers are the most effective, because this is pure prayer. It's from the heart, it's sincere, and it's humble. He says, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So that one prayer is so powerful. It's really the basis of what's called the Jesus Prayer. If you've read the book, The Way of the Pilgrim, about the man who journeys through Russia, who continually repeats the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a spiritual classic, The Way of the Pilgrim. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What is mercy? Mercy is where God's love tempers his justice. Justice is giving somebody what they're due. Mercy is compassion and forgiveness. It is showing a person love instead of strict justice. So he's saying, God, don't treat me with justice. Treat me with mercy. Treat me with compassion and forgiveness. And he says, be merciful to me, a sinner. The original Greek says, be merciful to me, the sinner. He's calling himself the greatest sinner, the sinner. Oh God, be merciful to me, the greatest sinner. And the great Bishop Sheen says, unless we admit that we're sinners, we can never claim Christ as our Savior. What a beautiful thought that is. For people who go around saying they have no sin, well, they can't call Jesus their Savior, because Jesus came to save sinners. So when we admit we're sinners, that's when we begin the process towards holiness. Remember the ABCs of holiness. Admit that we're sinners, believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and commit yourself to following Christ and his church. The ABCs. So he begins by admitting that he's a sinner. What does Jesus say about this man? Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went home from the temple justified. What does that word justified mean? We talk about justification. The Protestant revolt from the church was one of the issues was justification. So how are we justified? What does that mean? It means how are we made righteous in the eyes of God? How are we converted? How are we saved? How are we made pleasing in the sight of God? So it says, this man, the tax collector, went home justified, converted, pleasing in the eyes of God. He was transformed. He became holier by going to the temple. Because when he left the temple, he was a transformed person. He admitted he was a sinner, and Jesus says he went home converted or justified. But not the former, not the Pharisee. In fact, I would have to say that the Pharisee went home from church or the temple in worse relationship with God, because he did not use his time adoring God, praising God, loving God, or repenting of his sin. He spent the time making acts of pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. So he actually left the temple further away from God. Imagine that. Imagine going to church and leaving further away from God. So he says, when this man, the Pharisee, left the temple, he did not leave justified or pleasing to God or converted or made righteous in the sight of God. And then the Lord gives the reason why. He says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. That's what the Pharisee was doing. He was exalting himself, will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector humbled himself and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we have here what pure prayer is, what true prayer is. It can be just a message from the heart. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We all want to come to church. We all want to be transformed by the grace of God, by the holiness of the Mass, by the sacraments, by prayer, by repentance. At the beginning of every Mass, we tell God we're sorry for our sins. And then we receive Jesus in Holy Communion, which then is meant to transform us to go out into the world to bring God's love to the world. So today we see what pure prayer is. Pure prayer is very simple, from the heart, and that beautiful prayer which we should say often, O God, be merciful to us who are sinners.